Colossians 3:15-17. Find that we stand beside the words of the Word of God. We're reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Word. The Word of God reads as follows: Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns, psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Note the three times thanks appears. In verse 15, and be thankful. In verse 16, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. For Christ's sake. Of people's attitudes are constantly changing. Some days, people are warm and kind. Other days, cold and harsh. Gratitude often depends, beloved, on what's happening. If life is comfortable, they're thankful. If it gets difficult, their attitude cools off. It's easy to live like a thermometer, isn't it? We reflect the spiritual and emotional climate around us. If people are negative, guess what? We get negative. If people go low, we go low. If things are stressful, we lose our peace. If the atmosphere around us is ungrateful, we find ourselves complaining also. But in Colossians 3:15-17, Paul reminds the church that followers of Christ are meant to simply reflect the world's temperature. We are called to set it. We are to live like thermostats, not thermometers. A thermometer just tells you what the temperature is. It reacts. But a thermostat decides what the temperature should be. It regulates. It doesn't adjust to the environment. It influences the environment. That's what the peace of Christ is supposed to do in the heart of every believer. And you may be asking, why doesn't it happen in my life? Well, we're going to talk about that today. And hopefully we can help you to have, to experience what you already have. It sets the spiritual temperature, the peace of Christ in us. Keeping your attitude constant and your gratitude alive when life conditions are changing. They're up and down. They're in and out. Let's unpack these three commands of the text on living a life of gratitude. Number one, the attitude of thanksgiving. The attitude of thanksgiving. What is the attitude of thanksgiving? A heart ruled by peace. Those are the two fill-ins. The attitude of thanksgiving is a heart ruled by peace. It's right there in clause A of Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Thanksgiving begins not with circumstances, but with attitude. As a believer, what kind of attitude do you have? This morning, do you have a thermometer or a thermostat attitude? The thermometer attitude, as I said earlier, reacts to the environment. A
thermometer simply measures the temperature around it. If the room is hot, the thermometer goes up. If it's cold, the thermometer goes down. It has no control. It has no influence. It has no stability of its own. It's a reactor, not an influencer. Spiritually speaking, thermometer Christians allow circumstances to dictate their attitude of peace. Yeah. When life is good, they praise God. You can't stop. Won't he do it? Ain't he good? Are they so happy? But when life is hard, when life is difficult, when life is not life like it should, they grumble. They complain. Their gratitude and peace fluctuates with the temperature of their environment. That's why Paul warns us in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. He says, to learn to be content in every situation. Because spiritual maturity doesn't react. It rests in the sovereignty of God. This is what Paul says in verse 11 of Philippians 4. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, whatever the condition is, I have learned, he said, the situation I'm in, I have learned to be, here it is, content. I know how to be brought low and still deal with it. I can live with this. And I can do it with an attitude of gratitude. But then he says, I know how to abound if I have a lot. I'm the same way I am if I have little. Contentment is the word. And in any and every circumstance, determine your response. It's your choice. But if you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, you'll be able to determine what happens. The thermostat believer is ruled by peace. That's what you need to know. They're ruled by peace. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It's really a call to be a thermostat believer. Not a thermometer. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That means when tension rises, you bring it. When fear spreads, you stay anchored in faith. When others complain, you stay thankful. You don't mirror the chaos. You minister peace into it. Jesus did that on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. While they were being affected by the storm going around them, the Prince of Peace stood up and said, peace, peace, peace. It determined the environment instead of being infected and infected by the environment, which was chaotic and stormy. The peace of Christ becomes, here it is, the setting of your heart. And gratitude becomes its reading, its thermostat reading. The word translated let, you got to stay with let. You can't leave let, because if we don't understand let, then we don't understand the rule of peace. The word let comes from the imperative mood in the Greek. It's part of the command, let the peace of Christ rule. I want you to understand let here. So let doesn't mean passively. You know what I'm saying? It means permit with intentional surrender. If I'm going to let you do something to me, I need to submit to it. You hear what I'm saying? And so he's saying here, if you're going to let the peace rule you, you've got to submit to it. You've got to allow it. You just can't open the door halfway. You've got to open the door all the way. To let peace, the peace of Christ, do what the peace of Christ will do in your heart. Let means intentional surrendering to Christ, a yielding settle disputes when there's an argument. And he said, you won and you lost. It's as simple as that. Point blank. That's what referees do. Well, that's what the peace of Christ does if you let it in your own heart. See, no matter how emotional the athletes get or how intense the competition become, the referee's call is final. Let the peace of Christ be the referee in your heart. Paul is saying when conflict, fear, and anger, and anxiety tries to take control of your heart, your attitude, your thinking, let Christ's peace be the referee who decides the outcome. So when your emotion screams, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. Still called in the shots. You're still in control of your decisions. You haven't passed a decision on God in 20 years and wondering why you don't experience peace. That's what he's saying here. Because what I'm going to share with you is that all this is going to build up to an attitude of thanksgiving. And when you don't have the peace of Christ ruling your heart, you're going to think everything you experience in life is something. Negative. It's not a blessing. It's not comfortable. life that we live on our own, then we receive no rewards. Because we didn't let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. So he's reigning in us. See, peace now is guarded by thankfulness. Well, I hope you see this. It's being guarded by thankfulness. That same peace, beloved, that is our referee, that rules our relationships, is guarded by thankfulness. You see that? He adds at the end of Colossians 3:15, and be thankful. He's just not talking about feeling thankful. He's urging believers to express your thankfulness. What's on the inside, show it on the outside. But the Greek word translated be thankful is eucharistos. You can hear the word eucharist right in that. This word eucharistos means actively thankful. You're not just thankful on Thanksgiving Day. You're actively thankful daily, right? 365 days out of the year. 24/7. It's not determined by your condition. It's not determined by the atmosphere or the climate you're in or the condition you're in. It's your relationship to the peace of Christ in you that causes you to be thankful in all situations, in all conditions. And if you feel like you can't do it, Philippians 4:13 says you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I'm weak in allowing the peace to rule my mind, will, and emotions, I just say, Father, give me that strength that only Jesus can give me to do what I need to do at this moment. Because I can do it because you strengthen me. Because you live in me. And you got to talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and identify with who you are in Christ. I said, I'm in a crisis, but Christ, you're in me. And I want you to strengthen me so I can do what pleases you. I want you to call safe. I want you to call out. I want you to call the inbound and the outbound. I want you to do this because if I try to do it, I'm going to mess this up. So guard my attitude so I can be faithful in every situation. That's not easy to do. That's not a human capacity. That's a spirit-induced capacity. A spirit-empowered capacity to do that. So he says, be actively thankful. Be thankful in your actions, just not in your feelings. It comes from that root word, charis. That means grace. So Paul is saying, because you have received God's grace and peace, live with an active, visible, thankful. Live with an active and visible thank you at all times. A heart that shows gratitude through your words and your worship and your work and your walk and your relationships. Live with this active, visible thank you, Lord. Now, in the context of Colossians 3, Paul is describing what life looks like in Christ. He said he called us chosen ones in this passage. And he says you need to be compassionate to one another, be kind to one another. Humility should be there. Forgiveness of one another should be there. Love should be there. And peace ruling our hearts. Then he adds, and be happy. As a reminder that gratitude should overflow in every part of the Christian life. As if Paul is saying, don't just feel thankful. Be thankful. Show it in your attitude. Let the thankfulness color your attitude, your speech, your worship, and your relationships. Gratitude is the inner awareness of God's grace. But thankfulness is the outward expression of God's grace. See, Paul's command, be thankful, means live out your gratitude. Are you living out your gratitude daily in every and any situation you find yourself in? Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Help me out. And give thanks to him and praise his name. And Philippians 5:18, it says, in everything, of things. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 3:17, the B clause of that. It says, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So in Scripture, beloved, thankfulness is not silent. It's spoken. It's sung. It's prayed. It's lived. It's shared. A visible overflow of an inward gratitude. Jimmy's heart, and to call the outs and the ins. I'm not saying this because I don't feel the pressure. I'm not saying this because I don't feel the heat. I'm saying this because, as I said, I'm going to allow you to be God. I'm going to get off the throne of my heart, and you arise. Take over my mind, will, and emotions, and you direct my steps, because I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to approach it. I don't know how to handle it. I'm too weak. I'm too human, right? I'm too fragile. But you're the Almighty God. I'm trusting in you. So I'm going to let the open arms, the peace of Christ, rule in my heart. Jesus rules, His peace regulates every emotional storm. And flowing from that heart is gratefulness. The issues of my heart is gratefulness, isn't it? It's gratefulness. Secondly, the action of thanksgiving. The action of thanksgiving. The action of thanksgiving is a life that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is how it looks, beloved. Point A, 2A. Let the word move in, not just visit. This is not vacation Bible school. That's when people visit. This is every Sunday, every Wednesday kind of stuff I'm talking about. This is home devotion. Is driving in the car with some kind of teaching prayer song going on your radio if it's not on other stations. But it's letting the word move in, not just visit. Colossians 3:16, part A says, let the word of Christ dwell. Minnow is the word. Take up residence. I'm not here to visit. I'm here to stay. We know we have loved ones who come, and we love when they come, but we love when they go. You should never feel that way about the Word of God. Don't feel that way about the Word of God. Let it come in. Let it stay around. Let it live and move within your body, in your life. The Word Joel means to take up residence. Don't let the Bible just stop on Sunday and Wednesday. Let it move in to your heart. Sunday. To dwell richly means the word fills your mind with wisdom, your mouth with truth, your heart with worship. That's what it does. Let the word move in, not just listen. Be. Let the word shape your speech. Yeah, I know you want to say it, but don't. You control your spirit. Don't let your spirit control you. You got so mad that you said that to that woman, or you said that to that man. You should have said, peace of Christ Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Yes, you can do it. I know you say you can't, but you can if you let the peace of Christ move your heart. Proverbs 15, 4 says, a gentle tongue, I love this, is a tree of life. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. See, gentle, life-giving words strengthen the spirit of others. Harsh words crush the spirit of others. Let the word shape your speech. See, let the word fuel your worship. It's right there in the B clause with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Paul connects the word to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you have the right theology, right, and you tie that theology with hymnology, you're going to get doxology. You're going to praise the Lord. You're thinking right about God. You got the right songs about God. You're going to give God the glory in that situation. So when the word lives in you, breathes in you, moves in you, worship becomes more than music. Oh, yeah. It's more than just holding the note. It's more than just that. My wife is over there, but she's saying this. She did that note right there. I said, just sing from the heart. The Lord will take note of it. When the word lives in you, worship becomes more than music. It becomes the overflow of revelation. Mm-hmm. The deeper the word, the higher the praise. Is that not true? The deeper you go in God's word, the higher you go in praise of God. That's a beautiful thing. If you can't draw water from an empty well, you just can't do it. If your words are dry, fill your heart with the word. And living water will flow again. Thanksgiving is not silent. It's expressive. It's both spoken and shown through worship, obedience, and service. Gratitude that never moves the lips or hands is incomplete. True thanksgiving produces visible action. If I can't say a word, I learned in the old church, I just wave my hand. Come on, somebody. The verb singing here shows that gratitude flows naturally. Thank you. brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. This verse directly teaches that our access to God is possible only because of Christ's sacrificial blood, that redeeming blood, that cleansing blood of our lives. Secondly, Christ is our mediator and high priest. Well, I'm going to be happy already. He's your mediator and he is your high priest. 1 Timothy 2:5, though there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is the clearest declaration that Jesus stands between God and humanity as the mediator, the redeemer of human beings. Thirdly, our prayers, worship, and service, here it is, are accepted. They are accepted not because you serve so well, you sing so well, you gave so much. They're accepted. Accepted because of him. I'm telling you, you can't sing well enough to get heaven. Because there were some angels who were in heaven and got kicked out of it. It wasn't because they couldn't sing. It's that they had gifts and couldn't obey. They couldn't submit. They couldn't bow down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they had all the gifts. They had all the talents, but they got kicked out of the very presence of God because of their rebellion the truth. So Jesus says in John 16:23, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus teaches that we approach the Father in his name, meaning our prayers are accepted through him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, it's exclusive, beloved. No one comes to the Father except through me. This verse states plainly that access to the Father is exclusively expresses the entire structure of Christian relationship with God. That everything we experience, everything we have, is to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above